It is Monday morning, and each Monday morning we like to talk with NHPR's Josh Rogers for the political front to look at what's happening in New Hampshire politics. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
Josh, the House passed its budget last week. It spends $11 billion, about 10% more than the current budget. It also doesn't include gambling. Governor Hassan is saying the plan falls short in her eyes, so is the Senate's top budget writer. Is that pretty much to be expected?
It is, Rick. And the House's budget did fund a lot of Governor Hassan's priorities, mental health, higher education, social programs, albeit not always to the extent the governor wanted to, but mostly. And from the House perspective, particularly those of the leaders in both parties who were leery of more gambling in New Hampshire, and that really goes for most top House Democrats and top House Republicans, this budget positions the House pretty well. That doesn't mean the Senate is not going to quickly pull the House plan apart. That's pretty much the politics of any budget year. But the ranking Senate budget writers in both parties, Republican Chuck Morris of Salem and Democrat Lou D'Alessandro of Manchester, they both dearly want a casino. And so they're going to have to knock down an awful lot of assumptions in the House plan to sell gambling outside of the Senate. And that's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. What do you expect?
Well, Senator Morse has already raised questions about how the House's revenue assumptions are off, particularly on the Medicaid enhancement tax. Presuming the Senate acts on Morse's concerns, that would punch a decent-sized hole in the House plan. The House budget also banks on caseloads for state services to the poor to drop briskly. The Senate may be less optimistic about that. And Senate President Peter Bragdon has signaled that the Senate probably isn't going to be game to accept the tax increases in the House plan, 30 cents on cigarettes, to say nothing of the gas tax, which, while it doesn't fund general services, it basically goes to roads. Killing the House's 12-cent increase phased in would certainly increase the pressure on the House to potentially accept gambling and end-of-year negotiations. And then there's also the spending side, of course. The House nipped a bunch of plans, things that would be dear to the Senate, charter school money, building aid for schools. The House trimmed $7 million from Governor Hassan's budget on that front, and the Senate's likely going to look to restore that money. And, now that the Senate has all of the House's non-budget bills, it will also be interesting to watch to see which bills the Senate may try to use to send messages to the House.
And this is all going to start pretty soon. The Senate will hear several high-profile bills this week.
Yes, tomorrow the Senate will hear the House's bill to reinstate the minimum wage. The minimum wage was eliminated under Republicans in the last session. This bill would reinstate the minimum wage, mirroring the federal rate. On Thursday, the Senate's also going to take up medical marijuana, which does have plenty of Senate backers, but the minimum wage bill could have a rough go. The Senate has already tabled a similar bill introduced by a Democrat in their chamber, and at the time, Senate Majority Leader Jeb Bradley said he didn't anticipate any better fate for the House's bill.
Now, moving from the State House for a minute, late last week, former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown made some news here in the state when he said he would not rule out running for Senate here against Jeanne Shaheen in 2014. What should we make of that?
Well, I mean, it's certainly entertaining, and technically speaking, all it takes to run for U.S. Senate in New Hampshire is to register to vote. Scott Brown does already own a house in Rye. He has for some time. And when you add to that no Republican, local Republican, has signaled in a loud and clear manner that he or she plans to take on Jeanne Shaheen and Scott Brown's national profile, it's not surprising that his comments were really seized on. And regardless of how far-fetched a Brown run might seem, Democrats were certainly doing more than laughing off his comments. Since Friday, they've sent out four separate fundraising pitches. Yesterday, the Shaheen campaign announced it hoped to raise $100,000 off of Scott Brown's non-denial of interest in a New Hampshire run. It's really hard to know how serious Scott Brown is, even with the carpet. Even with the carpet bagging baggage he would bring to the race. One Jeanne Shaheen advisor I talked to said that they saw Brown as a tougher political opponent than most of the New Hampshire Republicans people suspect might challenge Jeanne Shaheen, which may be saying more about them than about Scott Brown. Yeah. But Scott Brown is going to be speaking in New Hampshire several times in the coming weeks, so stay tuned. But historically speaking, as far as I know, Daniel Webster is the only person to win election to Washington from both New Hampshire and Massachusetts. And that was a very long time ago, and we're also talking about Daniel Webster.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Rick.
That's Josh Rogers. He joins Morning Edition every Monday for a look at the political front, a look at here at New Hampshire politics. You can follow Josh, by the way, on Twitter. He's at Josh Rogers, NHPR.